This is Benefits Like a Boss.
Welcome to the Benefits Like a Boss podcast, supported by Nonstop Administration and Insurance Services. Nonstop is a mission-driven employee health benefits advisor and third-party administrator, and we are committed to building health equity while reducing the cost of health insurance for employers and employees. For information on how to get better benefits for less, visit us at nonstopwellness.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Benefits Like a Boss podcast. We are still here. It's 2022, and this is our first show, and we are still looking for those leaders out there that are making a difference in the world and bringing them to you. And of course, I always have a wonderful co-host with me, and we are lucky enough to be joined by Mr. Derek Smith. Derek Smith, how are you doing today, sir?
I am fantastic. Great to be here. Hard to believe that we are halfway through 2022. To be a part of Benefits Like a Boss, the podcast, is something that is near and dear to my heart. So I'm really excited to be back.
I'm excited to share with the audience that we have Michael Schaub, the CEO, and also Lacey Lively, the CFO, joining us from Northeastern Rural Health Clinic.
Yes.
And they are located in California. They're out there doing some incredible work, not only for the community out there, but also for the staff. And this is going to be a dynamic conversation. We've never had two people on the show that we're interviewing, but it's going to be great to get two different perspectives, I think, into leadership.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Really excited about today's conversation. I've heard so much about the team at Northeastern and the culture that Michael has created down there or has been a part of creating down there. And so, I think there will be some really keen insights that come out of today's discussion.
Yes.
So, Leslie, I think now would be a good time to go ahead and just dive right into the conversation with Lacey and Michael. What do you think?
Agreed.
Let's do it.
Hey, Michael and Lacey, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
I just want to kind of start us out by hopefully learning a little bit more about Northeastern Rural Health Clinics. Michael, would you mind sharing with the audience what your mission is there?
Certainly. It was put together by the board of directors a number of years ago, and we are actually providing quality, comprehensive, preventive, and accessible health care regardless of the ability to pay, which is pretty much like every FQHC in the nation. But they also added to meet the changing needs of our communities with creativity and innovation. And that's what we're trying to do. That's where I want to focus is, we have a really good care team to be able to do the first part of it. But then it's management's responsibility to create that innovation and find new ways to deliver quality health care.
Love that.
That's awesome. Lacey, out of curiosity, what is it like to work with Michael?
There's a lot of dad jokes. he really is the king of them all the time.
Awesome.
But in serious, he creates a very stress-free, light environment, which I can definitely appreciate, especially when I'm doing things like trying to balance a budget.
Now, I've heard that the culture at the health center is pretty open and pretty uplifting. How would you describe your leadership style and why do you think it's really beneficial to the staff there?
I would say that I'm dynamic. I'd say I'm passionate about our mission, the community that we serve, but also passionate about our employees, about supporting them and their growth and my growth as well. I'd also say that I'm transparent in a way that I'm not shy to express my thoughts on a matter, whether I'm for it or against it. And I'm not afraid to be in opposition and to put myself out there. And I think that that allows our other employees to do the same, to feel comfortable in doing so. And in the same time, I'd say that I'm open-minded. I find oftentimes employees in my office sharing thoughts and concerns and ideas and even personal goals. And some of our greatest successes that Mike and I have actually come from those particular conversations. And it's really given our employees a motivation to open up and to share and to be creative and to express all of that. And then I'd say adaptive. Things are constantly changing within the healthcare environment, let alone with community health centers. And then you throw in COVID, which presented us with a whirlwind of uncertainties and new challenges. And I'm very confident in my ability and the clinic's ability to shift quickly and do what needs to be done. And I believe that our staff picks up on that and they become confident as well. You know, bring it on.
Yeah. I love something that you said there, that you encourage not only staff growth, but your own personal growth.
Yeah.
I think that is a wonderful thing. And I think when, we see our leaders striving to do that, we want to do that too. So I kind of picked up on that. That's kind of what hit in my ear. And I love that you said that. So I think it's pretty great and motivating for others. Now, Michael, you and I had a conversation before, and I got to learn a little bit about your style. You like to go where the work is done. And you call that the management by walking around, which I absolutely love, because I just think it is so inclusive and it allows you to really get in and see what's happening out there. Instead of staying away or staying far away, you're in the work. So can you talk a little bit more about what your style is?
I've always had the desire to be able to talk to everyone, know their name, know what they do. And when you have over 100 employees, it can be a little bit of a challenge, especially when you have some turnover and you've got new people coming in. So what we do every month is we put together a photo list and send it out to all staff. And so that allows everybody to know who is where, because it tells everybody where they are, putting out the phone list and all those kinds of things. And then I just want to go and talk to them face to face. It's very common to not see people coming to the CEO's office. I'm scared of management. I don't know what he'll say, that kind of thing. And I want to try and alleviate that as much as possible. And when Lacey was talking about dad jokes, I do say, bring the joke of the day. Let me know. I need fresh material.
Yeah.
And so, people occasionally will come by and do that, or they'll give me one as I walk by and wave. And even if I'm headed somewhere else and walking down the hallway, unless somebody's on the phone and have their head down, I will walk by and wave and at least acknowledge the fact that I see them, I know who they are. And that's just, it makes me feel better. And I think it makes, the people that I interact with feel better too.
Yeah. How maybe do you think that helps create a culture of inclusivity?
Well, I think Lacey touched on it a little bit. The fact that people are willing to share and people will take ownership in ideas if they see that the ideas are considered. Now, that doesn't mean we'll take every idea that comes through the door, but what it does mean is everybody knows that it's included as part of the thought process. And I think that's how you pull everybody into kind of a cohesive whole, and also allows them to, once that decision is made, to be more willing to take ownership of it because they had a part in the process.
Sure. Now, Michael, let me ask you this. That hard benefit that really gives organizations the ability and opportunity to live up to their mission of equity. Talk a little bit about employee health benefits, and specifically the employee health benefits that Northeastern provides its employees. I'm really curious for you to kind of share with us the decision-making process that you and your leadership team took to bring First Dollar Coverage employee health benefits to the organization. Who was involved and what problem were you trying to solve by choosing Nonstop Wellness? And I'd love for you to also kind of speak to the fact of how Steve Way, your broker, really got involved. Did he bring the idea to you? Did you bring the idea to him? How did that all play out?
Well, first of all, the management team, which have been Lacey and I and Deanna, our operations manager, first of all, started talking about it. And the conversation had really been geared to the fact that our then broker was only able to bring back a policy that had a 30% increase.
Yeah.
And that's pretty hard to swallow when your benefits are a substantial part of your full compensation package, which usually averages about high 60s to low 70s of your overall expenses.
Right.
So that was a pretty bitter pill to swallow.
Right.
and we didn't want to swallow it.
Yeah.
So we started talking about various ways to mitigate that and see what was out there. Now, the interesting thing is Steve Way's son, Brian, had been in discussion with our previous CEO in regarding to other benefits that he offered. It's kind of a thing with the Way family.
Yeah.
And I will say that Steve Way gives me some dad joke material as well. He and I are the same vintage, you know. So anyway, Brian, and I actually have the date. It was September of 2020 when we began our discussion with Steve after a warm handoff from Brian. And so that's kind of how we got started with Steve and the Nonstop Wellness team at that point to figure out how we could give. Originally, it was cheaper. That was the focus. What can we do to lower our expenses?
Sure.
And then we were surprised that we were able to not only lower our expenses, but deliver a better product. Mm. And that was amazing to all of us.
That's awesome. Now, I mean, 6 or 7 months into the pandemic, you said September 2020, that's, a really interesting time in history for, the world here in the U.S., specifically with health centers. Lacey, I have to ask, from a physical standpoint, did Nonstop Wellness sound too good to be true? And I'm also curious, Lacey, what kind of impact, what kind of benefit have you seen coming from choosing to provide first dollar coverage for the employees? What does it mean to you personally to be able to offer such a rich benefit to all levels of staff?
Well, it absolutely seemed too good to be true. I mean, we were talking about eliminating out-of-pocket costs for employees and at the very same time giving us premium savings. Like, how was that even possible? And to be honest, it took me a little bit of time to wrap my head around how it was all going to work. But at the same time, I knew that we needed to make a change. There was no way we were going to be able to withstand that 30% increase. And so we knew that we needed to make that change. And we've been using NSW for about a year now. And we had a really great first year. In fact, we had a larger surplus than what we were initially expecting to have, which in year two allowed us to enhance our benefits even more for our employees. So it has really all around just been a great decision for us to make. And actually, for Northeastern, we live in a small rural community where when we're recruiting for positions, we don't have much of an opportunity to bring someone in who has prior knowledge of a health center.
Right.
Prior knowledge of the intricacies of an FQHC. So we really build our own. We spend a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of energy into our employees, training them on who we are and the regulations that we have to meet. So when an employee leaves for a higher paying position outside of the clinic, it's really hard to start that process all over again.
Sure.
And our biggest competitors in our area are state and federal government positions that offer amazing benefits. How do we really compete with that? And NSW has actually really given us the ability to stay competitive and to offer a more comprehensive total compensation package and just kind of keep us on that playing field. And that's huge for us, because there's no way that we will ever be able to compete with the salaries, the wages that they get from these other private organizations. That's just our reality. So it's been huge for us. And our employees love it. They love their card. They love that they can pay for their prescriptions. They can pay for their co-pays and not have to worry about it. And the fact that we as an organization are able to offer our employees the same healthcare, quality of healthcare that we offer our patients is amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great thing. And really, I mean, our most valuable, greatest asset that we have are the people who work for Northeastern.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of very smart, compassionate, innovative people that work here. And I'm constantly inspired by them. And the way that they take such great care of our patients as well as each other. And the fact that we're able to, in return, take care of them and contribute to a healthy work-life balance for them. Even if that means just taking one less bill away from them that they have to pay. one less thing that they have to worry about, so that when they're at work, they're their most present and efficient selves, which in turn benefits the organization, as well as makes them feel appreciated, right? It makes them feel like we care about them as more than just our employee, but as human beings.
Right.
Definitely. I just have to pause here for a minute because I just feel like you guys are living your mission so deeply as leaders. Yeah. It's just really beautiful to hear. And your greatest asset are people, your people. It's inspiring. That's pretty incredible. I am going to kind of riff here a little bit because I already know the answer to this and I want you guys to talk about it. So we're going off script. Here we go. Off road a little. Either one of you, whoever would like to take this, I'd love for you to talk about your process that you're looking at now with hiring folks and educating them into a role.
As Lacey was mentioning, we deal with a group of possible potential employees that are usually not the education or the experience that we necessarily want in a position. So that puts us into a situation, you know, what are we going to do? How do we build an employee, if you will? Mm-hmm. And so what we do is, first of all, I look for, and we all look for, somebody that has motivation. I am more than happy, especially in situations, let's say, for example, we bring in a provider that's fresh out of school. I would rather educate them than have to unlearn them of bad processes over the years. We're looking for any employee that we're looking for that needs to have an education or a higher education, I should say. That's what we want to do to build them into their position, because long term, we're going to be better off. It's an investment that's going to have a big return. And so that's kind of what, you know, when we talk about developing employees and things of that nature, it's like, where's the motivation? What are you looking to do? I just interviewed or did a yearly evaluation on one of my direct employees, and I said, I can't give you all fives. You're not perfect. However, you know, I can give you marks, and then we can talk about the direction you want to go. And the focus on the evaluation was more about where do you want to be than where you are.
Love it.
That's kind of how we like to do it.
I mean, that leads right into your mission statement of innovation, looking where you are, but also looking ahead. How can we improve this? How can we keep growing?
Let me throw one at you, Lacey, really quick. You know, Michael kind of shared that, you know, you and the leadership team do some special things for the new hires to make them feel connected at the health center and feel like leadership is accessible within the organization. Can you share a little bit more about what it is that you and the leadership team do there?
We want every person that works at Northeastern to know who we are, the rest of the leadership team. And more importantly, we want them to know and feel that they can come to us, that they can feel comfortable coming to us if they have a question or a concern, or they need a shoulder to cry on, or whatever they need. And so one of the things that we do is when we have a new employee coming in, we meet with them. We have them meet with the leaders of the clinic as a group. And we have a very casual, light, loose conversation with them. And we tell them personal details, and we have them share with us. And of course, Mike will have a couple dad jokes to share.
Always.
Yeah. But you know, from the minute that they walk in the door, we want them to feel comfortable and feel excited that they're in a place that they're going to be coming to every day that has such an uplifting and open culture. That's really important. And we want to show them an example of that in the earliest opportunity that we have in the onboarding process. You know, and those conversations usually lead to more intimate conversations where we do get to discover more about the employee. You know, we get to know what's happening in their lives, what their interests and their goals and their aspirations are. And in return, that just helps us better understand how we can invest in this employee, how we can best support their growth, both personal and professional.
years ago, there was a technique for relaxation called primal scream therapy. I don't know if you remember it. Do you remember that, Leslie?
I do.
Well, yeah, the old joke was, you know, I always tell people, if you need to come in, just come in, shut the door, yell for a minute, walk out. You know, it's fine. But, you know, the whole idea, if you need to vent, if you need to relax, shoulder to cry on, as Lacey said, we're all very invested in that. If you walk down the hallway, there's not a door that's closed unless they're on the phone. And it's just, you know, our paging system is, hey, Lacey, you know, or something like that. And it's just that casualness that makes it a whole lot more livable for us. We spend a lot of time there. And it's we know how it feels to be under pressure. And I don't want to have anybody think it's a thankless job.
Oh, yeah. I love the primal scream thing, too, because I had this really great leader in my past, and he would always say, I'd come in and I'd say, okay, do you have a minute? He'd say, yes. He's like, do you need action or do you need me to listen? And so I would say one or the other. And most of the time it was like, I just need you to listen. And so I'd be like, great, have a seat. I felt safe to come in, you know, as Lacey was saying earlier, like to share a grievance, you know, and maybe it didn't really need to go anywhere. Maybe it was more an irritation than a grievance, you know, as we all, like you said, we spend a lot of time together. We're like families. So we have those things we have to share, just like we do as human beings. We share them about our coworkers. So to have someone listen is pretty great throughout your day. So I love that. All right. Well, we're kind of having this conversation now about feeling connected and creating environments of openness. I think back on my own experiences, you know, and Derek and I are fortunate enough to have a wonderful chief growth officer that really encourages us to take vacation, take time when we need it, work hard when you're here, be focused when you're here. But when you're away, you go be away. So, Michael, I want you to talk a little bit now about you and Lacey and everyone who's leading there, how you guys encourage and promote a family-focused work-life balance for your employees. You know, why do you think this is important? And how do you think it changes your culture there at Northeastern?
Well, I think Lacey will affirm this, but one of my mantras is family first. You know, we don't live to work. I mean, I didn't grow up thinking I want to spend all my time behind a desk doing CEO stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there were lots of expectations that, of course, grow out of that activity. And I feel that way. I love to spend time with my family, and everybody else does too. And so if somebody needs, you know, a little bit of time off to go to a ball game or doctor appointments or just hang out with the family because it was a stressful day, whatever the reason may be, I don't think I've ever said no. At least I can't recall a time that I ever did.
Lacey, can we confirm that?
Yeah, I don't think that he's ever said no. Yeah.
No, it's just there is a little bit of thought on my side. Well, you know, how do I get more productivity? Well, it's easy. You know, let people live their lives and let them do their thing as far as dealing with family, friends, stressful situations, requirements of being a parent. As a matter of fact, one of our key employees' son got hit with a hockey puck in the eye yesterday.
Ouch.
And so she needed to take a little bit of time to go deal with that. And she was so apologetic. It was like, hey, man, go for it. Go take care of your business. And so now he's walking around with one eye for a while, you know, one eye swollen closed. But, you know, it's just things like that happen. And so you just deal with it. And I don't want somebody to feel they're chained to the desk. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think that open door policy really does help drive the connection within the organization?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I also, one of the things I have is a communal fridge.
I love that.
In my office that we keep stock with water, ice drinks, and my favorite diet, Dr. Pepper, which my medical director also likes. She sneaks over once in a while, grabs a can, and walks back out. But, you know, I tell everybody if the door's open, I'm not talking, and if I'm on the phone even, I'm not talking about anything that anybody can't hear. So if you're thirsty and you want a water, just come get one. you know, that's kind of an extension of the open door policy, is I guess I have an open refrigerator policy too.
Are there snacks?
There are some cheese sticks in there, yeah.
Oh, shoo, okay.
I try to keep things healthy, and I usually try to keep apples and oranges out on the front desk here so that people can grab them.
Well, you put Hershey's Kisses out there too, which is my downfall.
I did not do that.
Everybody needs a little chocolate every now and again, you know.
Right.
Lacey, what's your take on that? I mean, how do you think the employees value the unspoken benefit that might not be on any written policy, but something that they feel when they come, you know, into the building to work?
I think that it's our most valued benefit that we offer.
That's awesome.
In fact, we've had employees leave Northeastern for higher paying positions, but have returned because of that benefit, because of that flexibility, because of the healthy work-life balance that we're promoting. And it just makes life more manageable.
Right.
I mean, life doesn't stop when you come to work, right? It comes with you, all of it. If you have a sick kid at home, that's with you when you're at work. You can't focus. You're not efficient. You need to go take care of your kid. Take care of yourself. Like Mike said, if you have a ball game to go to, go enjoy your kids. They're only kids one time. So many missed opportunities. If you need a mental health day, take care of yourself. We need you to be well. We need you to be healthy. You know, obviously there's limitations to that. Patients still need to be seen. Work still needs to be done. But as long as, you know, we're not letting anybody take advantage of that. And we haven't had anybody take advantage of it. And I think it's just promoted more of a healthy environment within the clinic. And I mean, these are all things that money can't buy, right? A higher salary is not going to help you go to your kid's game. It's not going to help you have those memories. It's a quality of life. And I'm a firm believer that if we are taking care of our employees, they're going to take care of Northeastern.
Yeah, that's a great philosophy. Just like a little give and take, you know. Derek and I spoke at a Jedi conference yesterday together, and we shared this quote from Iko Bethea. And her quote is that transformational culture work is always relational. It's not transactional. Real diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging work is, it's not about a checklist. It's about relationships.
Right.
So I think you guys are really promoting a culture of inclusivity, openness, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
So I think just to go ahead and kind of wrap this up in a nice little bow before we get into our rapid fire questions, I would really like to ask each of you individually on a personal note, what is something that you are most proud of as a leader? And what's one thing that you'd want someone to take away from this podcast? I'm going to ask you to answer that first.
I would say that I take most pride in just developing, encouraging our employees to take risks with their lives, even if it's not within our clinic.
Yeah.
Developing, even if we're educating them and developing them and they leave Northeastern, at least we have done good for them. And I would say, if I want somebody to take something away from our conversation today, it would be, we're about the people. That is really the business that we're in. That's our patients, but that also includes our employees.
Mm, yes. It's wonderful.
I would have to say, I really want to develop somebody to take my job. And, you know, I'm not going to be here forever. I don't want to be here forever. You know, I'm looking at riding off into the sunset, but I'd like to be able, not yet, but I'd like to be able to look back and see viable candidates that are currently working for us to be able to step into the role. We have such a good thing going. I really don't want to bring anybody in for, or have to have the board bring anybody in from the outside to try and learn the culture.
Right.
Yeah.
I would rather develop. And because of our meetings and because we have such inclusiveness, pretty much there's at least three other people that know basically what I know.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. So I think that's, I would be most proud to have somebody when I leave groomed and ready to be a better CEO than I am. I don't feel that I'm the best CEO that could be here. I think the best CEO is going to be somebody coming up from the ranks.
I love it.
And learning the ropes. So I hope that if somebody takes anything away, it's groom the person or persons to be ready to take over when you go, so that your legacy, if that's what you want to preserve and they want to preserve, can be preserved.
That succession planning is important. I love that you hit the nail on the head there with that, Michael. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. And I think the way you all are running your culture, I think employees would appreciate that live on as well. So it's great. Okay, we're going to wrap up the show now. If you guys are ready to do it, just like we do every podcast, we end with these 5 rapid fire questions. Whatever comes to mind, short answer, long answer, if you're inspired to speak about something, we want you to feel the freedom to do that. Derek, are you ready?
I am ready, Leslie. Let's do it.
Okay. All right, Lacey, we're going to start off with you first, okay? All right. So first question for you is, what brings you joy?
Spending time with my family, traveling, playing golf.
Awesome. I'm just learning how to play golf, so I've got some calluses on my hand to prove it.
Michael, I'll spin this one at you. What's one thing that people get wrong about you?
So they, simply because of my title, they don't think I'm approachable. Mm. And that could be the farthest thing from reality. Every job that I've ever worked with and for has always had the us versus them mentality on one level or another.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's very strong. And, you know, that's something we're trying to kick down. We're trying to kick that wall down. And so that's the thing I think they get most wrong, is the fact that I'm as approachable as you can get. But because of my title, that's the assumption that people make, and that they couldn't be more wrong in that regard.
Completely get it.
All I know is they better come with a good dad joke.
Absolutely.
If they're approaching, yeah.
Either that, or I have to tune them up and show them where to get good dad jokes.
Yeah, there's that too. I hope that doesn't go away when you're not the CEO anymore. Start brushing up on dad jokes.
Yeah.
All right, Lacey, for you, when you hear the word vulnerability, what do you think of?
Allowing others to see the real you. Flaws and all.
It's wonderful.
Love it. Michael, another one for you. What is one hard leadership lesson that the universe keeps giving you?
I would have to say that you can't make everyone happy.
That's a good one.
That is.
That's just absolutely not possible. And so you can't allow a popularity contest to drive your decision.
Mm-hmm. That is such a good one, because I struggle with that too, because I like people, and the reality is I want them to like me too, you know, so I hear that. Lacey, what's one thing that you are really excited about right now?
Summer.
Me too.
I'm ready for the weather to warm up so I can hit that golf course with my husband.
Awesome.
Michael. We're rounding the bend here. Who would you say is your hero?
Oh, that's my wife.
Good answer.
I'm not trying to suck up. Anybody that can put up with me for coming on 43 years, got to be my hero.
That's awesome. How many years?
43.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. I got married when I was 5. It's really hard to believe.
Yeah.
I'd have to ask. Yeah. But yeah.
Oh, that's really great. All right. So one last question for each of you. Lacey, I'm going to go ahead and ask you, what do you think your soul's mission in life is?
Well, I would say to travel, experience different cultures, just see the world.
It's wonderful.
And then Michael.
I would probably say to have everybody remember me as an honest guy. Honest with my family, honest with my friends, and being a reputable, honest person, I think is what my mission is in life.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
All right. Every time we do these questions, one of them chokes me up every time. Oh. So thank you. I think you both have been incredibly generous, incredibly honest, incredibly open and vulnerable. And I'm kind of excited for the employees of Northeastern. And I think you two are incredible. And I am so grateful for the time that you've given us today. And I really know that anyone listening to this is going to take away how important it is to put your people first and make them your greatest asset, because that is true. It's true in life. It's true at work. It's true across the board. Humanity. Thank you both so, so much for your time today. And I look forward to connecting with you both again soon.
May I leave you with a dad joke?
Please.
Yes, please. How could I have missed that?
Well, I was going to say, so two silkworms were in a race and they both ended up in a tie.
Oh, that's a good one, Michael. I think my 7-year-old may get it.
Yeah. There you go.
That's beautiful. Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, on that note, thank you both so much.
Absolutely.
It's been wonderful.
Until next time, take care.
Thank you.
Wow, Derek, that was such a fun show. I feel like we learned so much about Northeastern, about Michael's and Lacey's management styles. Gosh, when Lacey said we are in the business of people, come on. So good, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, the dad jokes. I mean, Come on. I think I'm going to use that. You know, Father's Day is around the corner. I think it was very befitting.
I mean, you are a dad, so, you know.
Yeah, you know, and then again, they're talking about the company culture and the relationships, benefits both hard and soft. I think that there were definitely some things that I walked away from the discussion with that I will use moving forward. And I hope everybody that listens to today's podcast do the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when Michael was talking too about succession planning and how important that is, like if you want your legacy and your culture to live on, that is the best way to ensure that that happens. And I think it's an incredibly brave and humbling way to approach leadership. Just knowing that, you know, the organization is going to carry on after you're not there. But if you are building something meaningful and you want to keep that positive culture moving forward for years to come, the way to do it is to get someone in there to ensure that they share the same values that employees love so much about working there. So I really, really hope that someone listening in takes that into consideration moving forward from here.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And remember, they said the employees are always watching.
Yes, that's true. Yes, that is so true.
Well, for everybody listening today, you know, we really hope that you are able to take some insights, take them back to your organizations, take them back to your families and use them. And I guess, you know, Leslie, until next time.
Yeah, until next time. And everyone, thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Benefits Like a Boss. We will see you guys soon.
Benefits Like a Boss.
Today's episode was supported by Nonstop Administration and Insurance Services. Nonstop believes that healthcare should be affordable and accessible. If employee health benefits are a workforce or financial challenge for your organization, visit us at nonstopwellness.com.